What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. We hope everyone had a fabulous weekend. It has been a minute since we have been back in studio, but we are here.
And I'm so excited. Just yesterday we were here.
It really does.
But it was a nice long weekend.
And I actually like when there's like a big space between shows. Like, I know we do the show every day, but I feel like sometimes there's literally no news to report.
There's a lot to talk about today on so many fronts, so many news stories, so much TV recap segment.
So many personal updates. So many life updates.
There's a lot to chat about, and we're going to get into it. And that wouldn't have been possible if you didn't throw your back out on Thursday.
Yes, get into it. I literally just speak in TikTok language. Sorry if you don't know, but that's a really good one. Oh, but the drums.
That's actually not a story. It's not a story, but let's definitely talk about it at some point.
Well, let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Because I think that, like, while people have their hot takes on it, I feel like no one's talking about, like, how suspicious it is that, like, all these conversations are being had about TikTok. And it's literally the same week that Instagram Reels is, like, getting started. It's rolling out. Like, we have it now. Like, a bunch of creators have it. And I think it's being brought to the public in, like, the next few weeks in America. So, I mean, no one's talking about that. But the timing is definitely suspicious. Like, I smell something fishy.
Okay. Well, there has been conversation about TikTok being banned for a few weeks now. So maybe that incentivizes Instagram to get their shit together
and
be the replacement that this country might need.
And okay, that's more, like, that's rational. Rational, yeah.
So maybe they were being slow about it, but then they sped up the timeline in order to come and be the hero of the story.
Very possible. I mean, we've gotten access to the platform. It's interesting. I mean, it's literally a copy of TikTok, but just not nearly as good. There's not as many editing features. And to be honest, like, I've just been uploading content so that when everyone gets it, like, I'll have some content to share. And I'm literally just taking my TikToks and uploading them.
That's always how a new platform starts. You start, you, like, post old content first. You see, you know, what everyone's posting, what's happening there. I'm sure it will wind up being similar to TikTok, but with its own differentiators.
Yeah, that's not how every platform starts. That's just how every new platform that Instagram steals from other apps starts. Like, on Snapchat stories, I was first uploading my Snapchat stories to Snapchat and Instagram stories, and then I eventually just left Snapchat behind. But it really reminds me of the conversation we were having last week about IGTV, how it's, like, genuinely a piece of shit. And that's because it was an original idea.
In such a genuine way, it's a piece of shit.
In such a real, raw, and honest way, it's such a piece of shit.
What's so crazy is you say that's an original idea because, yes, I guess they didn't, like, copy and paste. But it's actually meant to compete with YouTube.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I guess when they...
So, like, still not an original idea.
When Instagram steals an idea but puts their own spin on it, like IGTV, it is a big fat fucking failure. But when they just straight up steal, like they did Instagram stories.
Copy, paste.
And that's what they're doing with Reels. Like, literally, even, you know how when there's a TikTok, the audio is at the bottom and it, like, moves right to left like a news thing? That they literally have that. Like, it's such a copy that makes me think it's going to be so successful, you know?
Interesting. I mean, they're primed to be successful right now, except there is some talk about what's going to happen with TikTok. Microsoft might be buying the U.S. version.
Operations.
I just saw now that they have 45 days to make a deal happen.
Mm-hmm, I heard that too.
So TikTok might be coming back.
Yeah, I mean, there's a conversation worth having if TikTok does stick around, like, what will be the future of Instagram Reels? Like, I don't know. The community is so strong, but it was on Snapchat too. People, like, loved the platform so much, but eventually people just migrated over because it was so much easier to have one platform. So I don't even know if TikTok stays, like, what will be?
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, TikTok will still be similar to how Snapchat still is something for someone. And Instagram might just be, like, the more curated version of it, just like how it is with everything else. Like, my Snapchat stories used to be, like, so raw and authentic.
Right.
And just, like, fun. And then my Instagram stories were really curated, and that's now all I do is just Instagram stories. So I think that Instagram in general is a highly curated place, and the videos will follow suit. Like, so some of the like fashion TikToks that we used to see would now be on Instagram.
Yeah.
But maybe they weren't even doing that well on TikTok to begin with.
They weren't. And I wouldn't mind if all the fashion TikToks left because they're really getting in the way. I'm now on, I'm in between Ariana Grande TikTok and MLM TikTok, where like we're exposing MLMs.
Okay.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Who are we exposing?
You know, they all have weird names. Monet.
Monet and Roe, like.
And, Agabond or something, where they give you a free car. It's just fascinating. And
free
car. But only if you, it's like literally the top 1% of 1% of all the recruiters. Yeah. It's really just exposing the truth behind MLMs, which I thought was fascinating. But when I did log on to TikTok this weekend, it was literally like the last day of camp, like people just crying. And like you know when like you were, well, not anymore, but when we were a kid, we were like, here's my address, like write me letters. It was like, here's my Instagram, follow me. Like, it's just, it's a little funny. Like, it's not because like people are really sad about it, but like the content was a little funny. I'm sorry.
And I think that the talkers will be okay. There will be a place for them, whether it's Reels, whether Microsoft buys TikTok. I think the talkers will be okay, but I'm sure it was a major blow to the whole talk system.
No, I mean, I'm like salty because I only have 85,000 followers. I'm like, yeah, get rid of TikTok. So like now my 3 million Instagram followers can really be like my TikTok followers. But if I had built like a substantial, I would be pissed. Like, I agree. So I'm just salty that my TikTok never took off. But you know what? Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. I'm pro getting rid of TikTok. No, I'm kidding. I don't really care. But I actually really like the idea of Instagram Reels because it's so for someone like me who couldn't make it on TikTok, like it's perfect.
Yeah. And now that I had deleted TikTok a while back, when you guys send me TikTok videos, what I've realized is when it plays in Safari, I don't think the whole video plays. I think just the first 15 seconds. So I've been watching these videos being like, this isn't funny.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
And it took me a while to realize that I wasn't watching the whole thing.
For sure.
And I have no way of watching the whole thing.
I think you can watch on like Safari on your computer.
It's so hard for me.
I'm so sorry. We just got sidetracked, but
I'm so glad we were discussing a little foreign policy so early in the morning.
Yeah, that's what we do here at The Morning Toast. We've always said it's everything you need to know, and that you really did need to know if you're a talker or an aspiring talker like me.
Right. But there's much more to discuss. First off, we need to talk about your back.
No, I want to address some rumors. You know, another day, another controversy for me. There has been a lot of, you know, underground speculation that I was faking throwing out my back, which is honestly hysterical. And that's the kind of controversy I can live with. But it's not, unfortunately. But I do see how someone could think that because we canceled the show. We had always planned on going away Thursday. We were going to do the toast with our suitcases. Ben and Zach were going to pick us up and we were going to drive upstate.
We were going to do a really early episode.
But on Wednesday after our show, I had a project to shoot and I was very excited about it. And I absolutely looked stunning. Like, it was sickening. And I was having so much fun at this photo shoot and they wanted Theo in the photo shoot, so Theo came and I was so excited. I bent down to pick him up and I just absolutely threw my back out. Literally, I started screaming. All these people were surrounding me.
Oh my God,
wearing masks,
terrifying.
And they like grabbed Theo and they put a chair, and it was horrible. And like, I was so excited. I've been looking forward to this photo shoot. It had been delayed because of COVID, and like, it, we finally got it on the books and I just ruined it. Like, it was going so well. I ended up really being very professional. Like, I heard Kris Jenner in my ear being like, get your shit together. And I got home and I just like utterly collapsed. And I knew that if I had to wake up extra early and I was on taking muscle relaxers, do the show, get packed. Like, I just knew I didn't have it in me. So I took the responsible step in canceling Thursday's show, which I apologize for. And I really thought my back was going to ruin the weekend, and I actually heard that some of my sisters were talking shit about me, like being like, oh, Claudia's back is gonna ruin the weekend, which when I heard really did hurt me, but it's fine.
That's not what we said. We hope Claudia's back doesn't ruin the weekend.
No, that's a part of the conversation that you told me, but I could just imagine how, you know, sisters talk and the conversation went on. I don't want to know. I was deeply hurt when I found out you guys were talking about me, but it's fine. I'm not upset. I'm really not at all. So
sorry.
I really thought it was going to ruin the weekend. And when we drove up there, I literally was like asleep in the car because I took another muscle relaxer because I was in so much pain. And I just planned on really like staying in bed the whole weekend, but like with my family. So it was fine. And really the second I got there, we had a very active weekend. And I think part of the reason my back was thrown out was because I've literally been in bed every single day. I do the toast and I literally get back in bed. I've been in bed for 4 months. And Wednesday, which is when I threw my back out, was my first full day at work. Like, I had this and then the photo shoot. I wasn't home till like 6 o'clock, which hasn't been the case for me in a while. But when we got there, I put on like workout clothes and we just happened to like walk a lot. We went horseback riding. We played pickleball.
Just what the doctor ordered.
It really was. And now literally I got home and I laid in bed all day yesterday and my back is fucking killing me.
Okay. I got home yesterday and I was just not right. I laid in bed all day. I'm so sore. I think from horseback riding.
My vagina is truly broken.
Like my neck. Yeah. My vagina.
No, by the way, literally my neck, my back. And my crack a little bit, okay? Like, I, like, that, the person that who wrote that song obviously went horseback riding.
I'd just gone horseback riding for the first time in 10 years.
We went horseback riding in literally one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. When we first got there, we were like,
terrified.
Horseback riding is a good idea in theory, and we used to horseback ride as kids, but I guess if you really don't do it a lot, it's very scary. Like, it's you're very high up.
And just like anything else, the older you get, the more aware you become of all the ways that this thing that you're doing can kill you.
No, I just was imagining like falling off the horse, and that wasn't even what I was afraid of. I was afraid of the horse then stepping on me.
Yes, that is the big issue with falling off horses. I just watched Yellowstone, and it shows you all the ways in which a horse can kill you.
So we were like literally about to turn around, but we gave it, and it's true. Like, when you're an adult and you like, you do something that you're afraid of, you feel so accomplished. And we ended up like walking up the trail into like this sickening, stunning, gag-worthy like cornfield.
Gag-worthy.
It was 7 o'clock. It was like almost sunset. I literally felt so close to God. It was fucking stunning. And I just love doing things like that. And it ended up being like a really good thing that I'm glad we did. But by the time we got back, I couldn't feel my toes. My legs were so numb. Like, I was in so much pain.
Yeah. No, it's a full body workout, especially when the stirrups don't fit you. And as you ride through the cornfield, they become more undone.
Yes.
Your legs are just like hanging there and you're squeezing your thighs for dear life.
Yeah.
But all worth it, except that today I'm walking like a cowboy.
Yeah, but it was fabulous. We had a great weekend. We were upstate, and it was just so great to be one with nature, get out of the city finally. And it was our first like mini staycation with Michaela, which was just absolutely everything of the sort.
It was so exciting to take her away. But speaking of vacations, we have a little housekeeping news.
Yes, I'm afraid some people are not going to be too happy about what we're about to say. But, you know, it has been a very long quarantine. And
For
your girls. We have done really everything we can to, like, do the show every day, because we know there's been so much uncertainty. And you can always rely on us to come here and say stupid shit. So we wanted to be that for you. We really did. And I feel like
we
did our jobs, even when it was just so fucking hard. And we are going to take a little break, but we will not be completely gone. So starting next week, Jackie and I and the Steens are heading out of town. And we will not be in studio, but we will be releasing weekly podcasts. I think we decided on every Wednesday. So we're going to be still recapping all the Housewives that we're watching. And we're still going to be doing Dear Toasters and the Fast Five stories from that week, which actually might end up like being really great episodes. Yeah. Because we're not like talking about really dumb shit that we just like need stories for.
We'll just be a weekly podcast, audio only, obviously, plus all the Patreon episodes.
Yeah, so it would be a great time for you to become a Patreon member. It is it's not permanent by any means. It's really just a hiatus.
Just for a month.
Now that Michaela is, you know,
ready.
Good.
Ready we're to gonna, pack her things and get
gonna,
out of town.
We're going to get her out of here. And that's what we're going to be doing. So apologies if you needed us in August. We are going to be taking some time for ourselves. And I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. As much as I'm really going to miss you guys, I'm going to miss the studio, because like nothing brightens my day like
this wallpaper.
Like this place. I'm really so excited for our little vacation. I'm excited to see how it feels to do weekly episodes.
Yeah, you know, that's like what other podcasters do. And they're always like running late with their weekly episodes. I'm like, how? So
we're
maybe we're
going to
find out. We'll definitely be late.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But they'll be up Wednesday mornings around 10 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that is our housekeeping update. It is only for a month. We'll be back, I think, second week of September. And it feels good. You know, it's the same time The View is taking a hiatus. So
We're
just one of the hosts.
Everyone has gotten their hiatus. It's our turn now.
Yeah. And I feel good about the work that we did.
100%.
Some of it during the quarantine. And people needed us. And I feel like we are there for them. And now it's our turn.
But you have a full week of shows this week. So we're just going to leave it all in the studio.
We're going to spread them for you.
We're going to spread them for you like we always do.
Always.
Sometimes wider than other times. Speaking of things that we need to speak about, and I can't believe we've gone on like however long it's been without speaking about it. Snitch got a dog.
But I'm bum.
Snitch got a dog. Hey. Oh, snitch got a dog. But I'm bum.
She has been keeping this a secret. She's been working on a secret project. Ben and I drove her to pick a Magnolia. That's her dog's name. Magnolia up yesterday. And it was really emotional. You know, Margo was in the car just like cradling Magnolia, sobbing. And it was big. And, you know, Margo, this is like a big step for a young snitch. And we feel as though it's exactly what she needed. The timing is great since we'll all be going away. It's a great, you know, time to have Magnolia get to know Theo, have Magnolia get trained while we're all in a house together. I think it's really good. We got to spend the day with Magnolia. She is so fucking cute. She weighs 4 pounds. She literally feels like 1 pound.
You guys, she's this big. You might be seeing pictures of her. I saw a few pictures of her before I went over to Snitch's, and I was like, full dog, whatever. This dog is just a little handful of dog.
You can hold her truly in like your index finger and your thumb.
Handful of dog.
She's so cute. She met Theo yesterday. It did get a little tense over a bone, but I think they were just playing. It's good.
Theo was like so shook, but then so excited. And you could just see the love pouring from his heart, like that he's now a really, I know that technically they're cousins, but he really is stepping into this big brother role.
Of course. And Theo's kind of been waiting for this.
It's the role he was born to play.
It's very exciting. I mean, Margo, you know, was up all night. That's life, you know, with a baby, but it'll be good. And we're really excited and happy for her on this journey. And I'm just so excited to have another dog in the family.
Yeah. And have another dog in the studio one day.
And we've now rebranded Theo's Instagram from Pup with No Job to Pups with No Job. It'll be a joint venture from Theo and Magnolia, which is very, very exciting. We got to get some fabulous content for them while we're out of town.
Double the premium content with the two pups. It's so exciting. It'll be interesting to see how they share. Theo being an only child for so many years, he hasn't had to share yet. And I think that's where the conflict arose yesterday over Bone Gate.
Definitely. There were some tensions. And I spoke to Theo after, and we had a really good, really good talk, you know, a heart to heart almost. And it's, as it is with, you know, any only child, it's very challenging to not only not be, you know, the object of affection for everyone, but to have to now share your Instagram. He worked so hard to build that following, you know, over time, and just kind of to like fork it over to, you know, what he says is a good for nothing dog. It's hard.
He's entitled to his opinions.
Yeah, no, but we're working through it.
I think also, as much as he's probably coming out like really strong and trying to be so defensive, like, it's not just that Magnolia has come in and stolen everyone's hearts and minds and Instagram accounts, but also Michaela came onto the scene a few months ago, and Theo's just been competing for love and attention ever since. And he's like, what about me?
Can you do me a favor? Can you just like not speak for Theo, because you actually haven't spoken to him about it, and you were actually being like super fucking rude to him yesterday.
I'm being the nicest to him. I gave him the most love.
Can I speak for him? Like, please. Let me tell you what actually is going on. He doesn't feel any type of way about baby Michaela. He is 100% supportive of her, and there is absolutely no beef with them, and they really coexisted perfectly until Magnolia sprung on the scene and just like shook things up.
Yeah, and I think Magnolia, I mean, I'm just projecting.
Yeah.
I think Magnolia,
as you do,
being the same size as Michaela just makes him feel like left out, you know?
No, I don't think that's the case.
I think it's about the sizing.
Oh, so are you fat shaming my son?
You said the F word.
Are you body shaming my son?
Never.
Never.
He's a beautiful boy.
Michaela and Magnolia, by the way, are not the same size.
They're so little, both of them.
Yeah, but Michaela weighs like double what Magnolia weighs.
It's hard to go from being the baby to the adult.
He's fine. He's doing fine. Okay. He's fine. Okay.
He's great. No, he's the best boy. And he's the star of this show. Like, he has so much going on, you know? He just has to remember that. Count his blessings.
Yeah. He's fine. We're fine. We're all fine.
Okay, Theo, like, I have to talk to him, but he's my favorite boy of all time.
He's
a perfect angel. Like, how could he feel any type of way?
You know, maybe it would be nice if you said it once in a while. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like it's all I ever say, but I'll say it some more.
No, it's fine. You know, we just have to work. This is our new life, our new dynamic, our new normal. We just have to work it out. We're going to do it, and it's going to be fabulous. We have so many blessings, truly, and it's fabulous.
It's really fabulous. I'm so excited for Snitch. I'm so excited for the whole Fichemin family. It's going to be beautiful. Follow them on Instagram at Pups with No Job. While you're there hitting the follow button, like, you know, working on your ratio, head over to Jackie O Problems, give her a follow. And then at the Redheads, at the Morning Toast.
Fabulous.
New Redheads episode drops on Thursday. Very exciting to get all the gals together to record the episode. Almost done with the book. It is
dark.
It's an intense one, yeah.
I heard. Mm-hmm. People are talking about it.
Yeah, I look forward to the lively conversation that will ensue.
Fabulous. Well, if that's all we need to discuss, anything else you wanted to chime in with before we dive into the Fast Five?
No, I feel as though it's time to dive right in. I just want to let everyone know that my iPad showed up today dead. Mm. Arrival.
It really happened. This is the first time it happened.
I know, and it's because of the long weekend. So
why don't you just leave it here charging? Do you use your iPad at home ever?
Not really.
You should think about that.
Yeah, I used to do that. Maybe I'll go back to doing that. But anyway, so I'll be reading off my phone today. I hope that's okay with all of you. And without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And that is true, but it is Monday, and since we did not have a show Friday, we weren't able to highlight a Black-owned business, and we want to do that today. So today's episode is brought to you by Gold. Founded by Trinity Wooford and Izzy Kabori in 2017, Gold was started with the mission of bringing good vibes to the wellness industry. Gold is an independent, Brooklyn-born brand centered in making superfood-boosted essentials for health and beauty with products that are always natural, easy, and, most importantly, fun. Gold makes superfood health and beauty for everybody. From latte blends to face masks, they are here to help you feel like your best self. Gold has three superfood latte blends, original, matcha, and cacao, and you could try it in water, milk, coffee, or smoothies. Blend to combine with your favorite hot or cold drinks. Enjoy daily at any time. All of them are vegan, keto season, and there are no added sugars. To learn more about Gold and to shop their products, visit gold.co, that's G-O-L-D-E.co, or follow them on Instagram at gold, G-O-L-D-E. Thank you, Gold. Fabulousness at every turn. Check it out.
Wow, that sounds so amazing right now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into some of our great stories. First story, I think the most exciting news of the weekend, Luke Combs and Nico Hocking are married in Florida this weekend. Luke Combs is a married man. I'm so sorry, Claudia Snitch, and all the Ashray girls. I know.
No, all the girls out there who thought it would be them.
Yep. On Saturday, the 30-year-old country crooner married fiancé Nicole Hocking.
It's hard to say her name.
You know I was about to say Nico.
I know, because that's like her Instagram and that's what we call her, but Nicole is her name.
Yeah, sorry. Nicole Hocking at their home in Southern Florida, a rep for Combs confirmed on Sunday to Page Six. Quote, despite the threat of a hurricane, by the way, it's hurricane season right now. Isaias is on its way, so everyone, if you're in the path of the storm, please be careful. The couple had a lovely intimate ceremony and will be celebrating with friends and family in the new year, his rep told Page Six, noting that tropical storm Isaias, which brushed the Florida coast on Sunday. Combs and Hocking also posted photos from their wedding day to Instagram. He said, yesterday was the best day of my life. I got to marry my best friend. Stop. I love you, at Nico Hocking. Here's to forever.
Oh, my God. This really sprung on me. Like, I knew that they were engaged, and I just, like, never really thought about when they were getting married, because to me, they're just, like, OTP. Like, it doesn't matter. And then I was just, like, in the car yesterday scrolling Instagram, and it just popped up and, like, made my day. And certain types of things, you know, like, I compare this to Joe Jonas, where it's, like, when he got married, it cut me deep, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it should have been me. And with Luke Combs, you know, would I marry Luke Combs? In a minute. But do I feel like it should have been me? No.
Because it should be Nico.
It should be Nico. And I respect it.
Yeah.
And I support it.
I also very much respect the fact that obviously their wedding plans were probably changed by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And they went forward we didn't see a lot of any ceremony photos, but, you know, the photos of the two of them on the big day were so beautiful, like the mm-hmm. whole nine. She did her bachelorette party a few weeks ago, and she found a way to make it all work out given the new normal.
Right, and I'm not a COVID bride, so maybe this is like easier said than done, but if I was, I think this is similar to what I would do. Like, I would get legally married in like a small ceremony with really only the people that needed to be there, and I would figure out the party, and I would make it like a blowout extravaganza whenever I can, but that's what I would do. But yeah. I guess everyone is doing it on their own timing, and shit is real for COVID brides.
She posted, yesterday was the most special day. I'm so happy to spend the rest of my life with you. Although we wish we could have had every single one of our family and friends there, we can't wait to celebrate with everyone next year. So excited to share more of this day soon. Much love.
Fabulous. I mean, you just love to see young love, burgeoning love, and I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
It's really fabulous. The photos are fabulous. Check them out at Nico Hocking or at Luke Combs.
She looks sickening, and we need to get her Instagram, Nico Combs.
Yeah, that we do need to do.
But she did change her name to Nicole Combs on Instagram.
That's so beautiful.
Which is such a sickening name.
Nicole, that's beautiful.
Nicole, that's beautiful. Great time to remind you to watch my comedy special, Disgraced Queen, now available on many platforms. If you head over to my Instagram account, Girl With No Job, there's an Instagram story highlight with tons of links to places you could watch it, you could stream it, you could rent it, you could purchase it. You could also stream the comedy album. Like, if you like listening to podcasts, you could listen to like the whole hour, 15 minutes of my show as a podcast. Check it out.
You know what? Speaking of comedy albums, perfect segue into our next story. New Joan Rivers comedy albums are coming in 2021, Variety reports exclusively.
Sickening.
New comedy albums from the late Joan Rivers containing previously unreleased material will be released in 2021. Production distribution company Comedy Dynamics.
Oh my God, they produced my comedy special. Do you think I could get an early little taste.
Get to work.
Oh my God, I'm literally going to be so obnoxious and ask.
Announced on Friday, it has acquired hundreds of hours of content from the Joan Rivers estate with plans to release a box set and digital albums. Rivers rose to prominence in the mid-1960s, best known for her quick wit and caustic style. She died in 2014 unjustly and
tragically
and far too soon.
Wow, this is so exciting. I didn't realize it was hundreds of hours. I mean, I actually recently watched one of her more recent, I think maybe her last special before she passed, and it was just everything. I watched it with my in-laws in the Hamptons, and it was just like, she is such a talent, so sensational. What stage presence, not only for like anyone, but for a fucking 80-year-old. Like, it was, whenever, I can't talk about it too much because it really makes me so sad, even though like she was 80 and like that is when people die, like that is just not when she was meant to die.
No.
And she was truly taken from us too soon. She was at the height of her career. And if you like know a lot about her and you know, like if you watch her documentary, like she spoke so frequently about these highs and lows of fame, and for her to go out in a high, which is obviously great, it's better than going out in a low, it's just devastating because she had so much more to accomplish.
She had so much more to give us. And yeah. I feel as though the world, her absence is so felt, like we could really benefit from hearing from her right now on the issues of today, but also it'd be nice to just hear from her
in general
from years past.
Yeah, no, this is fabulous. I mean, whenever I think about it, like it's such a shame to me that she, like her real heyday was like not in our time. There's not a ton of video of her comedy because it was like before specials were like as accessible as they are now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if she was still touring right now, she would be just like banging out comedy specials left, right, and center. And there's just not that many for us to watch. So this is a really exciting announcement.
Yes, it is a really exciting announcement. Just some good comedy news, you know?
But there is
some really good Joan Rivers content out there. The documentary is a gift.
If you haven't seen it, piece of work, you will laugh, you will cry. I could watch it. I bought it on YouTube so that whenever I'm on a plane on my iPad, it's like downloaded because it is just, it's a roller coaster of emotions. She's so funny and she works so hard and there's so much you don't know about her. Didn't know about her. It's hard for me to talk about her in the past tense, honestly. It's really painful.
It is really painful.
Like, I feel like I'm really, truly still grieving. Like, it's very upsetting.
Well, hopefully this new special will help.
Yeah. If you ever, want to go down a rabbit hole, one of my favorite things to do is to watch YouTube videos of Joan Rivers getting TMZ'd. Like, usually when she's in the airport and stuff. It is so funny. And then I also go down a rabbit hole of, like, interviews, like, when she was on Howard Stern. Fabulous interview.
Sure.
Joan Rivers, also Watch What Happens Live. I think I talk about this literally every time we talk about Joan Rivers. Watch What Happens Live put together this, like, beautiful tribute. She used to go on Watch What Happens Live all the time. And in her, in Andy's book, he actually said he was working on a pilot with her at the time that she passed, which would have been everything of the sort. But they, Watch What Happens Live, put together like a little collage of her best moments on Watch What Happens Live, and it's on their YouTube channel, and it's just, it really warms the, it's like all the things I love in one place.
Oh, I'm definitely going to get into that today.
Yeah, it's a fabulous rabbit hole to go down, and honestly, if you can get it up on your Apple TV, it's even better.
That's the only way I can watch content, because I'm like a grandmother trying to use the microwave. I refuse to watch stuff on my phone.
I like watching stuff on my phone, but I feel you. It's a different experience.
Today's episode is particularly hard for me, like reading off of my phone.
I'm so sorry. Do you want me to do it?
No, it's okay. Our next story is such beautiful and exciting news.
Oh, but is it the beautiful and exciting news brought to you by Legacy Box?
Yes, it is.
Are you sure?
They are the perfect sponsor for this story.
Because Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. I've gotten so many DMs, people being like, oh, I wasn't listening. What was that? What was that company? It's Legacy Box. It is the most fabulous thing, and everyone needs to do it. Because if your family's memories are trapped on old camcorders, tapes, or on film reels, Legacy Box is a product that you need. Because if you have boxes of old videotapes and photos collecting dust in your closet or attic, it's time you get them digitized. Legacy Box is a way for you to easily and affordably digitally preserve your past. The process from start to finish is so easy. You pack and send all the materials. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and then you enjoy it. You can get back perfectly preserved digital copies on a thumb drive, a DVD, or on the cloud. It's ready to watch, share, and enjoy as soon as you get it. Everything is digitized by hand at their secure 8-acre digitizing campus. They use premier scanners and playback decks to ensure each memory is mastered to the highest quality. Plus, they'll keep you up to date on the process with regular email updates throughout the digitizing process. Legacy Box is the world's largest largest digitizer of home movies and photos and has helped over 850,000 families digitally preserve their past. We are one of those people. We grew up in the golden age of camcorders and like digital cameras, and we have tons of like photos and like VCRs, and we literally used to like buy these weird things from Best Buy in an attempt to like get these videos to play on our TV, and watching them is so joyous, and it really shouldn't be that hard. And Legacy Box as a company is just like a genius idea, and they do the work fabulously, and it's easy to use and it's affordable. Go to legacybox.com/toast to get an incredible 40% off your first order. If you buy today, take advantage of this exclusive offer and send it in whenever you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/toast. Make sure you go to that link, legacybox.com/toast, to get the 40% while supplies last. It's fabulous as a gift for, you know, someone in your family or just for yourself. It's really just a fabulous product.
It's a fabulous product, especially as a gift. That is a great idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of making beautiful memories, Nikki Bella gave birth to a baby boy one day before her twin sister, Brie Bella, also welcomed a son into her family.
Alternative headline. The Bella twins once again proved to be goals at everything. Like, what is better than this?
No, there's really nothing better than this. I saw this headline and it just warmed my heart. They, of course, we knew that they were pregnant at the same time. They both had sons within one day of each other. These boys are going to grow up as twins like them.
Oh, that's so cute. I didn't even think like that.
It's really, really sweet. So Nikki Bella is a mom. The Total Bella star and fiance Artem welcomed their first child, a son, on Friday. They said, "Our baby boy is here and we couldn't be happier and more in love. Everyone is safe and healthy." Then the next day, Brie Bella welcomed a son, a brother for Birdie. Just couldn't be more sweet.
Like, not to make it about this, I just really hope like John Cena is in a bad fucking mood about this, because he let go of a fabulous girl who was willing to do so much for him, and he wasn't even willing to give an inch. You know, she was giving a mile and he wasn't even giving an inch, and that whole thing was so public and terrible, and everyone really sided with Nikki Bella, and we just wanted her to be happy, you know. And now she's happy, she's engaged and she has a son, and this is just fabulous. And honestly, I hope John Cena is ruining the day. He was that little stubborn little prick.
Well, I think John Cena is doing fine for himself, and this is not what he wanted. So I think he's probably happy that Nikki got what he wanted and that he's not a dad.
But what Nikki wanted was him, you know?
I know. It's what we all wanted.
It's what we all wanted, like that WWE royalty. Like, that's what we wanted. Why did they have to make it so fucking hard for us?
But you know what? Man plans, God laughs.
Everything happens for a reason.
Everything happens for a reason. They're both in really happy relationships, and I mean, I can't imagine she's happier than she is right now.
I totally agree. This is so fabulous, and it's obviously so beshert, which is a Yiddish word meaning meant to be.
Meant to be.
The way that this happened with Brie is so beautiful and so kismet, and it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for all the treachery Nikki had to endure at the hands of John Cena.
Yeah.
So it all works out. All's well that ends well.
All's well that ends well.
Auld Lang Syne.
I hope they're filming the show.
Yes.
It's so interesting what's being filmed right now, what's doing quarantine filming.
That's what I was thinking when watching Real Housewives of Potomac last night, which we will recap in the TV recap segment. Do they film the whole season? Do they get stopped at some point?
So judging on the time of year, it seems like this is almost exactly a year ago. It's back to school for the kids. So they must have started filming at the end of August. And I think they probably finished the season before we went into quarantine. But then they delayed when it was going to premiere because they ran out of other content.
Right.
I think.
And now that we're getting a New York reunion, we will most likely get a Potomac reunion in person.
Yeah, because at least last year, the Potomac reunion was in New York. So Andy can come and we can make it happen.
And okay, let's just move on because I have so much to say about Potomac.
Okay, great.
But fabulous news for the Bellas family and everyone. Just mazel. Simchas all around. You'd love to see it.
Okay, next story. Adele is, quote, unrecognizable as she praises Beyonce's Black is King. Adele continues to showcase her recent weight loss in a new social media post praising fellow songstress Beyonce and her latest visual album, Black is King, which is just everywhere. It looks
everyone's
so fabulous.
I
haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it looks incredible.
And we like were sickened the house down by The Lion King and the whole soundtrack. And as far as I know, this is a lot of the music from The Lion King. So I'm just looking forward to like a fabulous fierce moment, you know?
Totally. She's seen wearing the same Marine Serre look as Beyonce. The fresh-faced, curly-haired diva points to her television while acknowledging the queen in her Saturday afternoon Instagram post, writing, "Thank you, queen, for always making us all feel so loved through your art." So it feels now like every time Adele posts Instagram, like the world is shook to the core
over
her, quote, transformation, quote, weight loss, etc.
And like, I don't know, something about the way just people talk about this, like, really rubs me the wrong way. Like, what I find fabulous about this news story is, like, one, Adele's posting on Instagram, which she never does. Two, her Beyonce friendship is going strong. Three, she's a queen who respects other queens. Like, I don't know, the verbiage around, like, slim down, Adele. Like, who fucking cares?
And like, also, I understand, you know what, at a certain point, like, these are celebrities, when there's a major weight loss, it is news, etc. But she... We have this conversation every time she posts a photo. Like, she must be so exhausted by this. It's not like in each photo she looks so different from the one before.
Right, no, there was the beach one, and then there was her birthday one, and now this is the third time. And there was the Drake
birthday party one. Like, it's just every single time she posts a photo. No wonder she doesn't post that much.
Totally. It's like, can we talk about something else other than her body?
Like, this is how Adele looks now. Get used to it.
Get used to it. Like, it doesn't have to be the title of every story.
Right.
It's frustrating. Like, I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on, like, why this... The way people were writing about this, like, made me want to roll my eyes. But that's just it. It's like, get over it and stop talking about her body. Like, there's so much else going on in this photo that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
Her hair is curly.
She's not unrecognizable. She looks like Adele.
She looks like Adele.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Something about it, like, just made me, like, want to roll my eyes. And I couldn't figure out why.
Yeah. I agree. She looks fabulous. And
I'm so glad she's happy and enjoying a good movie on a Saturday night with her friends.
I totally agree. And that's the highlight of this story.
Yes. And they have the same shirt. How cute is that?
Right. That's the news.
Do you think they happen to have the same shirt, or Beyonce sent like a PR package out?
So I think at first glance, I would have thought that Beyonce sent a PR package out. But this shirt in a different colorway has been seen on, like, everyone. Dorit was wearing it on her Instagram yesterday. Kylie was wearing it. So I think it's just like the shirt of the moment.
It's like a celebrity thing.
Yeah.
I gotta get the shirt.
Yeah. Everyone's just loving the shirt.
Okay.
Shirt. Fifth and final story, a little happy couple news. Simone Biles goes Instagram official with her new boyfriend, NFL player Jonathan Owens.
I wish Snatchler was here because she is our resident Simone Biles stan. But I think I speak for Margot when I say just fabulous. Fabulous news. Everyone's so happy. What a great batch of stories. Everyone's just like feeling happy, watching good movies, having babies, getting together. It's fabulous. What a fabulous Monday.
Fabulous Monday. Simone Biles has a new boyfriend.
Title for today's episode.
Okay. The 23-year-old Olympian made things Instagram official with football player Jonathan Owens on Sunday, posting two photos of the pair cozying up to one another on Instagram. I get so confused by the football and the basketball, and I'm like, isn't he in the bubble?
Right.
But no. With a big smile, when is football coming back?
Let's talk about that in a minute.
Okay. With a big smile on her face, the Houston Texans safety stood behind Biles with his arms around her, while in the second photo, he leaned in to kiss her neck. Quote, "It's just us," Biles captioned the sweet Snapchats, which pal Nastia Liukin commented on with a string of red hearts.
This guy is very hot, and I'm just happy Simone Biles is... Yep. Happy and with a hottie, because this is just fabulous news. But back to your question, I wanted to talk about, because we were all together this weekend and basketball was back, and it was really interesting, and I wanted to hear what you had to say, because we were watching the games. They're all in the bubble, and there's no fans, and it's like this 3D. It literally looks like a simulation. But I found out, like, the screens that are around the court made to look like seats with, like, virtual fans are actual, like, real fans, like, who signed up to, like, be on TV.
That's cute.
Which is cool.
Yeah. That I was hoping it would be something like that. Or even, I know that with baseball, they're putting
cardboard
celebrities and stuff, which is just a fun way to do it. I like the idea of doing the fans in the stands. Watching it, not that I am so big on baseball, but it really did feel like you're watching a video game.
You mean basketball?
Sorry.
Basketball. You know, because Ben has been watching baseball, and I think it's fine. Like, it really doesn't bother me. They have the sound playing. And it looks like a regular baseball game, but the whole format of the basketball games have changed, and it totally feels like a video game.
Yeah, and it also feels like they're playing on a court that's too small.
Agreed.
But I guess I'm sure it's regulation. There's nothing different about the court.
It's just enclosed in. It's just weird.
The thing is, it doesn't matter what I think, but in case anyone was wondering, like, it felt extremely different.
Yeah, no, nobody cares, but, like, I hate it.
Yeah. So I wonder how the sports fans feel.
And then for football, Ben said, like, when we're all away, football's, like, going to start to come back. So, like, they're also excited to, like, be together and watch football. So it's coming back soon. No fans. I think it'll be fine. It's like the same. It's the same field. It's just like baseball. Same field, no fans. And it looks similar, I think.
Okay. I haven't watched that much baseball, but that seems like a better plan of action. Yeah. I'm glad that they're trying stuff, though. And that there's sports back on TV for those who were missing it.
I mean, the only sport that's been on is golf. And Ben has just been watching it religiously, because Ben used to literally have, like, a slate every night of, like, a million games to watch. And now he's, like, one PGA tournament a week. And my God, it is so boring. And there's no fans. And it's so quiet. And, like, they play the same course four times and, like, tally up the scores, which makes no sense. So I'm literally watching the same thing four times. It's just horrible.
That's rough.
It's a disgrace to entertainment.
I'm so sorry. Well, speaking of things that aren't a disgrace to entertainment, our reality TV recap segment.
Which is brought to you by Brush. What's wrong with using the same old manual toothbrush anyway? Nothing at all, unless you think there's something wrong with staying put while the world moves ahead. Because while manual toothbrushes haven't changed much, electric toothbrushes have changed the game. And nowadays, there's no reason not to get a dentist-quality clean every day. Meet Brush, the modern electric toothbrush that keeps your teeth cleaner and Frucher. All while being kind to your wallet. Brush is also the sound your mouth makes while your teeth are scrubbed at 31,000 brush movements a minute, 100 times faster than manual brushing. Brush gives you a dentist quality clean in just 2 minutes without the costly markup other brands add. And with its sleek design and 3 stylish colors to choose from, it's one beautiful brush. That kind of The kind that makes you call your mom and say, I found the one. With a 90-day risk-free return period, hundreds of 5-star reviews, and a 2-year warranty, there's no need to take our word for it. Why not just try it yourself? It's really very cute and pretty, and sometimes I see, like, ugly ass, like, bulky. Who wants to put that on their counter when I have, like, a beautiful marble counter? But the Brush is sleek as hell, and I think it's really going to go with some of your aesthetics. Brush has advanced features you'll love, like 6 unique cleaning modes, smart timer with quad pacer, 4-week battery life, magnetic USB-powered charging station, and a sleek carrying case for easy travel. And with every brush head refill shipped, Brush takes care of a mouth in need through their one-for-one oral care give-back partnership with A Reason to Smile, so you can feel good about your purchase. Be warned, a brush this good doesn't just clean your teeth, it steals your heart. If you want to get 15% off your Brush kit when you use promo code TOAST at Brush.com, that's 2 U's, so Brush.com, promo code TOAST. Again, 15% off your Brush kit only when you go to Brush.com and use the promo code TOAST. If you're still using a manual toothbrush, like, get with it. It's 2020. Like, what are you doing? Brush.com. Code TOAST. All right, TV recap. So much. Let's start with Potomac. It was returned. Season premiere last night. We love a show-stopping intro, you know, where we go 7 weeks earlier. Yes, I love that.
We really do. And so I get... Did you watch What Happens Live?
Yes, I was very much in and out of it. I'm not going to lie.
I watched the first half, and so that beginning teaser, it seems like the fight that gets physical is between Candace and Monique.
And unfortunately, I think Monique is in the wrong.
Fuck. Well, you know what? We'll see. Because I have yet to see Monique in the wrong and Candace in the right.
I've yet to see Monique in the wrong until she pulled that bird out last night. And I was like, this is disgusting.
Stop. She's so cute. She loves animals. I love her house so much. I am a Monique apologist. Like, not that I've seen her do something that I even need to apologize for, but I love everything about her. Also, the fact that she named her bird T'Challa from Black Panther.
Oh!
Like, so cute she is.
The fact that her 9-month-old is potty trained is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
No, and the fact that she was so pregnant last season, and now she's just, like, back in the swing of things.
So let's start. She starts, and she goes over to Karen's house, and
Karen's back in Potomac. I love to see it. I was really hard on Karen when I was watching the first 2 seasons. I did not think that we had ever met a more delusional housewife, and that's with knowing Ramona Singer. Mm-hmm. And now I no longer feel that way. I feel that she's really sweet. She's a woman who supports other women.
I agree.
And she really likes to see her friends do well, and I think the women are unduly hard on her.
Agreed.
And like to just catch her in, you know, in a lie, or, like, you know, catch her doing something wrong or her business not going well. And
they all have things like that.
For how hard they are on her, she doesn't come at them at all.
And by the way, she looked amazing. Like, for her first season was rough with her outfits and her looks, and it was just, but she really got it together really fast. And when she opened the door to let Monique in last night, I thought she looked amazing. And I love her new house. Like, even her original house had, like, no furniture in it, and it was so weird, and it was, like, nice and big, but it was just big. Like,
yeah,
there was no it looked like no one lived there. It looked like a model home with, like, stage furniture. I really like this house. I thought it was beautiful. I'm not 100% sure, like, what's going on with her finances, but it's kind of like a Dorit Kemsley situation. Like, I just don't want to know. Like, keep the looks coming, keep the house coming, and I won't ask any questions.
I actually feel like her finances are fine. From what it sounded like, Ray had a tax issue that he had to pay back, and that he paid it back, but he still has his business and he's doing fine. And now she is a housewife. She has her business. And right. I think they're doing fine. And so I'm happy to see her back in Potomac.
Well, I thought it was really interesting how she, like, immediately, like, she opened the door and she just started opening up about how her and Ray are going through things. And Monique was right. Like, she's not one to really, like, divulge on things like that. So if she's at the point of telling Monique on camera, like, it must be bad.
Yeah. It must be like she has made a decision and now she's, making it look like she's on her way to the decision.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because, you know, their marriage is an institution. Like, they've always kind of been like this, like the older, stable institution in Potomac. And I really thought that was worrisome.
Yeah. Or she just is turning a new leaf of being open on the show. Yeah. Like, maybe she feels now 4 seasons in that she can trust the show and share more with the viewers. Yeah. So even if she's not necessarily getting divorced, like, she just wants to be open. Because I think by now she probably has a lot of really good positive reception from the show.
Yeah.
And it's a two-way street.
You know, last night's episode was really hard for me because I had a major realization. And it's hard for me to say because I love her so much, but Giselle has terrible style. Both her outfits, that black hat she was wearing with a tiara on it, and then her new blingy home. It was devastating for me because she's really my favorite, and I'm a Giselle apologist, and I could not apologize for that couch or those bar stools or literally anything in her new house. The outside was cute. The inside was literally just a travesty.
Yeah, that was wild, the decor, and like production wanted you to feel that way about it. I actually liked the bar stools on their own.
Hated.
But the decor was something else.
Okay, and that purple couch that had like bling in it, which she also sat in on Watch What Happens Live. I'm like, get this couch out of here.
No, it's perfect for Watch What Happens Live because it's like fun. It's like a set couch. It's not a living room couch.
Yes, it's like it's perfect. Like if you have like an office, like Kim Zolciak has like the craziest office in her house and it has literally our thrones.
Yeah.
That, yes, I agree. But like for a living room couch in a sitting area, formal sitting area, it's absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me.
Yeah, that is hard.
And I guess I never really noticed it, but that coupled with like her outfits and like that baseball hat that had a tiara on it, like it just triggered me.
That hat was really bad, but I feel like in past seasons she's had good style.
I don't know. Now I'm just really aware of it.
Yeah.
And I did not like what she wore to the Denim and Diamonds party because she only wore diamonds.
What was she wearing again? Oh, it was like Balmain-esque, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like a little costumey. You know what? I'm realizing her style isn't blingy, it's costume.
Yeah, but also that theme was just...
No, literally, Candace had those boots and had that dress and wanted to wear them both, so she came up with a theme called Diamond and Denim. And I didn't even... I liked both of her things separately. I did not like them together.
Candace, like, never ceases to disappoint with the most boring storylines. Like,
the most boring storyline.
This one-year anniversary party, like, making, like, the dessert. I just am so bored by it. I was bored by her wedding planning. I was bored by her dragging her mom through therapy and making that her storyline. I was bored by all of it, and I was bored by last night's storyline, too. I don't know what her storyline for this season's going to be, but if it's about, like, her financials and...
It's like, when she started talking about money again, and I'm like, really? Like, you're spending $22,000 on a party, even though she didn't end up spending that because that was for the full bar. And honestly, to invite people over to a party for a cash bar, when you run in a crowd like Potomac, it's a disgrace. Mm-hmm. And just have it at a bar where you can afford it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, have it at your husband's restaurant.
Or a house.
Yeah.
Like, that was not going to work for me.
No, that was not going to work for me either. And I'm disappointed that we didn't get a statement from Karen Huger on herself. The matter.
Yeah. Well, she's kind of toned it down since she used to do that, you know?
For sure. But there's a time and a place. And that was the time and the place.
What I found very interesting was that Giselle's kids were not, like, at all thrilled that their parents were back together.
I know.
I found that to be very interesting. It's clear that they really took the mom side in the divorce because they know that their dad cheated on their mom. But I feel like it's a kid's fantasy. Like, your parents, like, every kid of child of divorce dreams that their parents are gonna get back together, and they almost never do, and they like hate it.
I know, she has such good kids. They're so sweet. I love, they're so sisterly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost funny, they really like roast her on TV all the time.
Yeah.
They have such a great relationship with her, and I'm sure that if there was really a real issue, she wouldn't be showing that.
Agreed.
But I look forward, Andy said on Watch What Happens Live that throughout the season it doesn't get much better with the girls being into the relationship, but hopefully like by now.
But on Watch What Happens Live, she said they're still together.
Yeah, but and so the proof is always in the pudding.
100%. I don't know how it's going to work, like if he like permanently lives in Atlanta and she can't leave Potomac, she's a star, you know?
Right, but maybe that's for the best. Like,
totally. Speaking of relationships that aren't going to work out, Robin's storyline, again, being like, are we getting married? Are we not? Like, and was I supposed to be moved by that scene in the kitchen where she was like, we need to get married?
She like beg him to marry her.
Yeah, and she's like, we need to grow as a couple. It's like, you've been together for 30 years. Like, what growing do you need to do? I don't know if I was supposed to like get teary-eyed at that, but I actually didn't.
No, I did not. With Robin, it's been a journey because the first 2 seasons, I was like, why does she keep getting her contract renewed?
I know.
Then at last season, I was like, wow, she's a great addition to the bunch. Like, she's so fun. She's so... like laid back, it's refreshing. But now this season, I'm going back to season one where it's like, why am I watching this again?
No, I know that you don't like her. And for some reason, I've just like had a spot for her in my heart. I just really like her friendship with Giselle. I think that's what it is. But it's like when we opened up and she's in like the same house with the same conversation and the same everything, it's like, where's the growth?
I have no idea. Also, yeah, speaking of her friendship with Giselle, it is always so nice on a show to have like two people who you know won't betray each other, because it's just like this constant,
and it's not an arrangement
of uncertainty. No, totally.
It's not like a Lisa Vanderpump, Kyle Richards. That wasn't a friendship. That was an arrangement.
Yeah.
This is a friendship.
Yeah. And so like when last season, Candace and Monique are sisters and then she's going to drag her. I can't depend on that,
but
I can depend on Robin and Giselle, and I appreciate that.
And it's important in a franchise.
Yes.
For me, the hardest part of the episode was seeing Charisse at the party, because like I just don't fuck with her like at all. She bothered me a lot on her time on the season, mostly because she like came on the show just like roast her husband and like just don't do that. Like do that in private, you know. And I never got with her. And now Monique isn't fucking with her, and like I'm not either, because she's talking shit about Monique, and Monique wouldn't even say what she's been talking shit about her about.
Yeah, because it's like, why breathe life into it? Charisse isn't gonna get a testimonial, so no one needs to. Why is Monique gonna tell millions of people right now when only probably Charisse's however many Twitter followers heard it?
And it is very interesting that I think maybe it was Monique or Karen pointing out like, why is Charisse at this party? Like her and Candace don't even know each other. Makes me think like, coupled with Charisse now like talking shit about Monique, it's like her an attempt to get back on the show.
But that she's been doing that every season she's been part of the storyline. When she brought Sherman's ex-wife,
yes,
you know, she's always trying to like stir the pot.
She annoys me like a lot.
Yeah, she,
and the camera, like production does not give her the time of day. It's like in Beverly Hills, they let anyone just like walk on and like, yeah, take a dump in the middle of the set. Like they don't care if you've been on the show, like you can now come to any place. Camille Grammer's literally been around for the last three seasons, but they just do not let Charisse back in, and honestly it's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Wendy, the new girl, her like moment with Monique being like, I have a 2, a 4, a 7, a 6 month old, like I'm Nigerian, I'm 35, like I literally was gonna cry. Like it was beautiful.
Yeah, but then that's exactly what Monique did when she met Candace, and like that's just her way of
connecting,
relating to people, is like realizing all the things that you have in common. I liked Wendy right off the bat. I think she's gonna be a great addition.
Me too. And they gave us a great sneak peek at not next week, but like the whole season, and Wendy really can hold her own. That's Dr. Wendy to you. Address me properly. Like that was everything of the sort. They go to Portugal, and last night's episode really got me thinking, because before they premiered the new episode, they were playing the reunion, so I just like was watching it, and it was really just so elevated and so glamorous, really reminding me of Beverly Hills. And I spent the whole day yesterday catching up on New York and Beverly Hills, which we'll dive into a little bit. And I was really thinking about how like the difference in the New York trip, they're all on the trips now, between the trip that they're taking on Beverly Hills to Rome, where everyone is like literally sickening outfits, Chanel, Kyle spending $8,000, Lisa Rinna spending $4,000, Erica Jane spending $4,000, Sutton spending $4,000, like all of that compared with like the New York women who they've all been on for the same amount of time.
To watch those two episodes, which I did last night back to back.
Eye-opening.
We'll get into it. I just want to say we didn't talk about Ashley Darby.
She was boring. She wasn't invited to the party, but she has a baby, and I'm happy for her, and her baby's really cute. And sometimes I have, like, visceral reactions to her, and she didn't bother me. She's fine.
Yeah, I know. You probably, I like her more than you do, I think, because I like her personality. I don't like when she, like, just stirs shit up just to do it, but I like her commentary, and I think she's funny, and I'm liking the friendship between her and Monique. I mean, any friend of Monique is a friend of mine.
That, no, 100%. She's a good people reader, so you just follow her,
yeah,
blindly.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just get into New York really quickly. It was not a good episode. Actually, it was fine. I like when they go on trips, and they actually, wherever they always go to, like Mexico, Turks and Caicos, they really do like tropical mostly, and
because they always film in the winter,
and I always want to go where they go. Like this house in Cancun was sickening.
What's crazy though is that there's only five of them, and
I know.
The cast feels so small because it's just like Ramona, Sonia, Dorinda, Leah, Luann, and
five.
Like we're so familiar with all of them that there's no like, why wasn't Elise on the trip?
I thought the same thing.
Just to throw in like something different, because all of these people are mainstays now, so to ostracize one of them on a trip is less exciting, because it's like, oh, we have to watch you like all make up too.
The episode was difficult for me because really when it comes to the birthday party thing, I think I'm on team Ramona.
Yeah, so as people, I'm on team Leah. When it comes to the birthday party, we talked about this last week, I am team Ramona because it is Ramona's birthday party. And so she, even though like being 63 years old and having this birthday is, you know, you want to judge it and it's silly and whatever, like she is entitled to want what she wants. And the thing about the vagina, They showed a clip.
Well, so the reason why I think I'm more firmly, as it relates to the birthday party, on Ramona's side after watching this episode is they showed us footage we didn't see on the first time.
I saw a butt cheek.
Her dress was above her hips.
Right, which means that on the front side, there would be vagina.
100%. And you know what? With the grinding, and it wasn't appropriate. I do think Ramona singled out Leah a little bit. Like, Sonia was being just as much of an animal as Leah was. And I think Ramona, there's probably something about Leah that Ramona doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And Ramona went after her more than the other girls. But Leah's behavior was unacceptable in that type of situation, and Ramona said it. She's like, if you want to do that here in the house in Cancun, go for it. We're alone. But it was a dinner. It wasn't a party, and there wasn't a dance floor. They were on a couch. It was inappropriate. I'm sorry to be so like prude, but it was inappropriate given the setting. And when they all went to that hairdresser event, which actually was like so nice, and like Luann's charity work sometimes comes off like so.
No, but it's last week and this week. I was impressed by a really beautiful thing that she did.
Her humility, like mm-hmm. I really was, and I really enjoyed it. And the women were acting like animals, and not one person, except Ramona, even engaged with the women who were there to get haircuts, and that really bothered me. And I was surprised that Luann didn't say anything. Luann's just kind of staying out of everything, yeah. But the women were acting like animals at that hairdressing event and not even addressing the beautiful thing happening in front of them.
Yeah.
And I was surprised Luann didn't say anything.
When it comes to the party, I agree with Ramona, but now Ramona's taken it to another yep. level that she cannot come back from. Her talking about Leah's mental health and medication and drinking and making all of these
assumptions
about her and talking about it with the other women is just so unacceptable.
Crosses
and
the line.
So now it's become a much bigger issue that, of course, it didn't need to be when it's just about misbehaving at a party.
Right. No, it was like a tiff, and now it's like you really can't be on Ramona's side, not only because of that, but like this happens every season when they go on a trip. I just am appalled by the way Ramona talks to the staff. And literally when she walked in, she was like, wow, look at all these servants. I was like, did you just say servants? I thought maybe she said service, but I rewinded, and according to my Instagram, people agreed that she's definitely said servants.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Insanity. Like, who fucking speaks like that? And just like throwing, I wanted this in London, can you steam it? Like, just the way she speaks to staff on every trip, like, really rubs me the wrong way, and this is no exception. And it was hard for me because in the beginning of the episode, I was kind of on her side, and by the end of it, you just couldn't be.
No, you just couldn't be. And so I watched that right after I watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and
same.
It's a shame that we didn't do an episode last week because it was the episode of the
bravo,
season.
Bravo, bravo, fucking bravo.
The tide has turned. We're getting all the information. First of all, this Rome trip just looks so utterly fabulous, and like to watch this episode now in month 4 going on 5 of quarantine, we're like, It's hurtful.
Yeah.
It's hurtful to watch this fabulosity, to know that that's what's out there in this world, and like we can't have any part of it.
I felt really overwhelmed like during the entire episode because I knew this thing was coming at the end, but not all the women were there, and they came in waves, you know? It was like the first wave, second wave, then Sutton came. And it was overwhelming, honestly, because there was so much glamour. Like all their looks, even just going to get drinks, they all looked amazing. I'm not going to lie. Some of Garcelle's looks were really questionable, but I won't. She got there late, so like I won't. And Denise was just, there's no excuse for those boots. Just absolutely horrible. But for the most part, the group really looked sickening the house down.
Yes.
And I just kept feeling like every time they would walk down to dinner, I was literally overwhelmed like by the sequin blazers, like everything. It was too much.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I didn't get enough of a full shot of everyone's looks, you know, especially Erica the first night. Like I wanted more information on what was she wearing. Like I got Dorit's
Chanel.
I got the look, sickening. I got her Versace look the next night. Amazing. I loved what she wore to the steps.
I love what Erica wore too.
It's really just the two of them, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Kyle kind of has like basic style. It's pretty, but she always knows how to dress per occasion, but it's not reinventing the wheel.
No, not at all. And Rinna always looks totally appropriate and fun and chic and young.
Yeah.
And she always looks great. She's a great addition to the mix, but it's really just
Erica
and Dorit holding it down for all of us. And I'm sure some people find it to be so frivolous what they're doing, but like it's not if they weren't on a television show, they would not go to dinner dressed like this. But they're giving us television.
Not only that, like they go on these trips because they dress the way that they do, and they go shopping. Like the women in New York, when they go shopping, they go to like a hotel gift shop and spend $200. Like these women literally, who spent Kyle spent $8,000. Like that is what you have to put that out to get that back. Like the women. Not every franchise goes on a trip like this, and it's because the women of Beverly Hills are consistently keeping it out of 10, and I do think some other franchises could really take notes.
I agree. They didn't tell us how much Dorit spent, though, which was concerning.
But you know who's also bringing looks and has her own glam? Sutton. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it. She does it from a much more like reserved. She's not so daring with her looks, but she always looks beautiful. She has her own glam. So I think her, Erica, and Dorit are the ones who brought glam, right?
Yeah, well, because Kyle's always like judging everyone for their glam. But it looked like she had glam. But I think she's gotten really good at doing her own. Me too. And so maybe there are some other hair and makeup people like floating around. But I think those three brought their own.
And like, then flew them out.
And sometimes production brings for everyone.
Or like the hotel salon or something.
Yes, yes.
Now let's talk about Bravo, Bravo, fucking Bravo. Because I feel two ways. I feel as though Brandi is 100% telling the truth. And I don't think that should be a question. I think the question is, and honestly, Sutton brought it up in a real way. If you think about it, I know it's like trashy TV. But in a way, Teddy and the girls really outed Denise. And when they brought it up, she was obviously denying it because it's a very difficult thing, conversation to have, especially when you're on TV and especially when you have kids and a husband. And I don't know what their arrangement is, but it did feel like it didn't need, like Teddy could have aired her grievances with, and Teddy was obviously really hurt by what she heard Denise say about her. And I think she could have had a constructive conversation with her without bringing that up. And I don't know, the whole thing felt, it didn't feel good.
No, it didn't feel good. I have a lot of different thoughts about it. But first of all, Teddy felt like she had to say it because it was already out there. But if Teddy and Kyle agreed to never mention it, Brandy's conversation would not have been aired, that part of it. They would have cut it out completely because it's not a storyline. It didn't go anywhere. And even though they're not so close with Denise and they don't need to protect her, like they each have something on the show that they don't talk about. Mm-hmm. They all stay above the line with one another, and they just went completely below the belt with Denise about this. Like, one, they're outing her. Two, like, imagine you're telling everyone and her at the same time that, like, accusing her of having an affair, of cheating on her husband, like, and she has to address it with cameras there and in front of all of these women. Like, that is just so uncalled for. Agreed. Especially when, you know, even when, like, Dorit and Camille were fighting last season and Camille brought up her money troubles, everyone was like, whoa.
Right.
But this is so much more serious than that.
Agreed.
And they just felt it was okay to go there. And so I think Sutton handled it so well when she was like, are you more concerned about what Denise said about you or about Denise and Brandy?
And what I found to be very interesting was that Sutton then corroborated the story saying like, yeah, I heard it too, but I never brought it up. And Sutton was completely right. And she's like, I know I'm new and I might not have, you know, any ground to stand on, but I agreed. I think that the way the women handled the information for Brandy was awful.
Was really awful. And I think that if they, not that they, it's not on them to like care about Denise, especially when they've just heard what she said about them, but like, it's just the decency of the show. The Beverly Hills has never had to go so
there
to bring up something so personal for one of the women. And they could have had like a crazy conversation about all the things that Denise said to Brandy, and it could have been left at that. And so Teddy thinking that she's doing Denise a favor by bringing it up, like, you're not doing anyone any favors. Now, I have a few questions that I'm curious about. I'm sure that the women say Bravo often.
Yeah.
And I want to know who has said it other times and when.
Yeah.
Because Denise said it the other night at dinner and we never even heard it. They cut it out so seamlessly.
Right. And what is the legal reasoning behind that? Why can't you say Bravo?
No, so I don't think it's a legal thing, but it's like saying, hello, we're filming a TV show and I'm breaking the fourth wall right now. So when you say Bravo, it's like calling out the thing.
Right.
And they wouldn't air that because it makes it too much of a TV show. But right in this moment, like, real life and television are mixing.
Dorit tried to give her a heads up. She's like, honestly, like, what you're doing, like, they're obviously, it's like when Teresa was like, they better cut this, when they were talking about her telling Danielle Staub to pull Margaret's hair. Like, of course they're going to use that. And honestly, you freaking out about it makes it more of a spectacle, and they're of course going to use the footage.
Yeah, but then I also think that Bravo kind of did set a bad precedent when they paid Denise so much money for two seasons, and they basically said to her, like, you're indispensable. We want you on this show so badly, like, it's your rules, mm-hmm. sort of. You know, someone who's coming in and has to prove themselves needs to go through all of this shit.
To earn respect.
But, like, she just came in at the top. And it's kind of a tough precedent to set because it lets Denise think that she gets say over what gets aired and what doesn't because they're so happy to have her there.
Right. But at the end of the day, once you sign that contract, like, you're signing your life away. Like, you have really no editorial rights.
Yeah. And so now I feel like, as much as before it was like, oh my God, is it true? Is it not true? I don't care. It's not my business. Right now, I feel like Teddy and Kyle, they are the bad guys in this story.
I agree. It was very poorly handled. Mm-hmm. And it made me really sad. Like, I've actually never seen Denise cry, and she like got teary-eyed because it's like, it's not about whether or not it's true. It's just about like, she was technically outed, and that's really fucked up on TV in front of a group of people. Like, terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not here for it.
I'm not here for it either.
But I also see and recognize Brandy being hurt. But I don't know why Brandy had to go on TV and say it.
Yeah. There's a lot going on here, but without Brandy being a full-time cast member, it just, it doesn't feel like, obviously everyone, this is what everyone wants to see, but it just doesn't feel relevant.
Yeah.
You know, if everybody is just coming in with all their allegations, yep, against people at the table,
I'm going to walk in and start saying things. And
also it's like, I'm sure Denise said all those things to Brandy about the women.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like in this group, it really is like a isolated thing where it's like, you're only responsible for the things you do and say within the group. When you want to talk to your real friends, your camp friends,
right,
outside of here,
home friends,
and you want to be real with them, like, it's so difficult to be held accountable for all of that when this is just like
this, agreed,
small world that you're living
in. And it's
in,
meant to be like real life, but it's like a simulation. What goes, yes, on in the simulation.
It is a simulation. Like, I'm sure if, you know, Faye showed up and mentioned everything that Kyle ever said about the women to all of the women, I wouldn't even care what it was, because like, of course Kyle has opinions about her coworkers.
Totally. And it shouldn't be fodder for HR.
Yeah.
Agreed. But it was a fabulous fucking episode.
It had everything.
Everything. So let's wrap up our TV recap segment with If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yes.
Which was our toast movie of the week. And you know what? It was not my favorite.
It wasn't my favorite either. I had really high expectations because it was so
critically acclaimed.
Celebrated, critically acclaimed, nominated for a lot of awards. And I wasn't crazy about it. I thought it was a good story, but just like the way it was filmed was just like not my favorite style. Also, you told me that it's not a true story.
Well, so when it ended, I was waiting for my black and white text, which is my favorite part of a movie. And most of the movies we've watched recently, unbeknownst to me, were based on true stories or loosely based on true stories. And we got no black and white text, so I just did like the smallest bit of research. And it's an adaptation of a novel. The story itself, like this particular man and this woman, didn't necessarily exist, but I think it's meant to be like, this could be anyone.
Like, there a compilation of stories like that.
There are
real,
so many stories like this. But then it really harkens back to a conversation we had on the show a while ago about hunters, which is like, they made up a story, a terrible story about something that happened in the Holocaust, which ended up not being true. When it's like, at the end of the day, there are so many worthy stories worth telling about the Holocaust. And same for what it's like, you know, in the 70s for a black man in America. So I don't know. I was confused by a lot of it. It's like, If Beale Street Could Talk is in Louisiana, then it takes place in New York. And Beale Street, again, is like, it's not necessarily about Louisiana. It's this, it's everyone lives on Beale Street. That was the quote in the beginning. Yeah. And I got it. Just a lot of things about it confused me. I liked the love story a lot. I feel like you could really feel the love between Tish and Fonny. And like, honestly, the scene where Tish and her family told Fonny's family about the baby was the best scene in the whole movie. I mean, Tish's sister, like, that's me. Like, I loved it. And it was fascinating. And I thought it was like really one of the most like polarizing scenes in the movie. And there were things I liked about the movie, like Regina King is everything of the sort, and yeah, I needed more of her, and I didn't know what was going to happen. So it's like, when she went down to Puerto Rico, I'm like, oh, we're saved. Like,
yeah,
Regina King can do everything and she's going to save us. And she couldn't.
No, I just assumed that it was going to be a hard conversation, but eventually, you know, justice would be served, and justice was not served. And I think that was a really powerful message to end on, where it's like, you know, things don't just work out.
No, they usually don't in situations like this.
Yeah. That was really tough. I agree. I felt the same way. And then I was just like, no, this is the reality of the situation.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. And then just like to go through that journey and then to find out that it wasn't based on a true story. When there's a million stories like it, I didn't see the point in like fictionalizing it or whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's kind of how I'm feeling right now about the Redheads book. And I think it's a similar conversation that we're going to have.
Yeah.
So I agree, but it was really well done. I'm glad that I saw it because there was so much talk about it.
Yeah, and it was good.
It's so highly recommended.
I enjoyed it, but it's like when, you know, we're talking about like Hidden Figures, like when we're comparing it to other movies that we've watched, it just wasn't my favorite.
I agree.
But anything to support Regina King, I just love her so much. So for next week's Toast Movie of the Week, we are not going to do a Toast Movie of the Week because we are out next week. So that's that on that for a little bit. But again, for August, starting next week, we will just be doing weekly episodes every Wednesday. Still doing Dear Toasters, all of our Housewives recaps, and of course the Fast Five stories that you need to know from the previous week. And it'll be great. Thank you guys for giving us that time to break a little bit. And I'm very much looking forward to that. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I believe that is all she wrote. She's been writing a lot today, so I think she'll be grateful for the break.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast every weekday, Monday through Friday, on YouTube. And we are also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you guys have a fabulous day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.